This is Scenic Roots, live in the library. Our guest is Sherry Cawthron. A quote on her website describes her as, quote, a rare combination, a kind of artistic, spiritual trifecta, a first-rate singer and songwriter, a dynamic performer, and a trained theologian. Actually, he goes on to say, make that a quadruple gift, because she's also a pastor who serves an urban congregation with a special ministry to people without homes. Today, Sherry is still an ordained minister, a reverend, as she said she will be for life, in the United Methodist Church, but she now has what the church calls an extension ministry, which allows her to devote more of her time to the two non-profits she has helped establish. She also finds time for writing, songwriting, and performing, as she is this afternoon, live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library. This is Sherry Cawthron.
Happy Friday afternoon, everyone. It's good to be with you. I'm Sherry Cawthron, and I am a singer-songwriter, author, and also United Methodist minister. And today, I'm going to play you some songs off of couple of my projects. This one's off Kiss the Ground. This is called This Love, and it features a lot of the poetry of the poet Rumi, who was a Sufi mystic from, I think, around the 13th century, and he's one of the most popular poets in the world, actually. And this is one of his songs, one of his poems put to song. This is called This Love. Probably just want this faucet of COVID chaos to be turned off. And so I'm shining some love out into the world through some songs this afternoon, songs that I've written that really revolve around this idea of loving one another, and that we are one another's keepers, and that in the sense of divine love, we can always find a new start, find our way through the chaos. And this is another Rumi poem that I put to music, and it's just this beautiful, beautiful idea that the poem is called "There Are Hundreds of Ways to Kneel and Kiss the Ground." It really talks a lot about how fear can seize us, but a little bit of love can open up the pathway. Today, like every other day, you wake up empty, trying not to move the way fear makes you move. But it doesn't really matter if you've broken your vow a thousand times. There's still a voice calling you. Let the beauty you love be what you do. Let the beauty you love turn you around. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Keep walking, though it seems there's no place to get to. Don't try to see through. Move within, but don't move the way fear makes you move. It's not for you. Let the beauty you love be what you do. Let the beauty you love turn you around. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. I think I also let it slip that I am a United Methodist minister. These days I have taken that into the nonprofit world. Started a nonprofit here in Chattanooga called Beloved Woman, and we're helping women who are financially disadvantaged to find a pathway to a living wage or become self-employed. So if you know of someone who might be interested in this program, it's free of charge. Women are sponsored in this program. And I love telling stories about women, particularly women whose stories have been lost. So many ways that women's stories can get lost in the world, especially in this best-selling book of all time, the Bible. So there's a beautiful story that we haven't heard a lot. It happens on the wilderness journey, this epic wilderness journey. And these women who are warriors are guarding the entrances to the traveling sanctuary, and I began to imagine what they were doing at this really pivotal time in human history. And so this is their story. This is called "The Song the Women Warriors Sing." Thank you. She stands guard at the doorway of light. She carries a mirror fastened to her sight to signal a warning or to prophesy. She looks into it to see heaven's eyes. She says love needs a carriage of bronze and gold, with angels to guard it from days of old. While it's been here forever, we've just been told to make a home in the cold. For love. Now when the spirit comes, well, it's a frightening thing. You must know the passage through the fiery dream. It's in the song the women warriors sing. Oh, maybe you've heard it in the singer's voice. Maybe you've felt it in nature's chorus, or known it in your heart. A carriage of bronze and gold, with angels to guard it from days of old. Has been here forever. We've just been told to make a home. Speaking of a home in the cold, I spent about 10 years working in a church that was in this area of Nashville that I call the front lines of heaven and earth. It's one of those places that Pope Francis has called a triage center on the front lines of the world's pain. And I was really honored to work with a lot of the city's struggling population, the population that suffered from homelessness, lots of immigrants and refugees. And I learned so much there. It really formed a lot of my character, as I had spent the first 10 years of my adult life as the lead singer of a rock band. And so this was a big transition for me after seminary. But I heard so many stories, and I wrote a song called Tiny Angels, and this kind of describes one of the stories where I would have those moments where I just felt like something divine was looking out for me. So this is called Tending Angels. Offend you, sleep again. Cardboard bed on church sidewalk, sleeping off of junk again. Good morning, you say, and you bowed your head. Sister, I slept. Sleep of the dead. I swear we are tending angels. We are tending angels. Like to see the place where that all happened, there's actually a video on YouTube called Tending Angels, and a lot of the people that I was in ministry to at that time appeared in the video, and a wonderful video. It went into a lot of film festivals, and you can check it out. We did it to raise awareness for what homeless people go through, and also to kind of show the sacred face of homelessness too. So you can check that out on YouTube.
This is Scenic Roots, live in the library. Our guest this afternoon, the Reverend Sherry Cawthron. As I mentioned when I introduced her, Sherry Cawthron has helped establish two nonprofits, one in Nashville and one here in Chattanooga, Both of them have the goal of helping women who are struggling simply to survive.
Well, I'm working with two nonprofits now, one out of Nashville called the Women Arise Collective with another United Methodist Reverend. It started in Africa, in the Congo, where it's one of the most dangerous places to be a woman. I think about 1,000 women are raped every day there, what we call a rape culture there. It began as an effort to educate women and started an educational center called the Mama Lynn Center over there that educates women about what sexual violence is, because it's so much a part of the culture that a lot of girls just think this is just how life is, you know. Then it began to kind of spill over into the United States, and she needed someone to oversee what was happening here in the United States and connect those global groups of women. And so we have a resource coming out, which is a book that I've written in late October, and that book will be a resource that will enable us to come together and have groups. And but the book is also a book that I'm putting out for my own workshops and, you know, what I do as well as a musician, songwriter, / speaker, yeah, workshop leader.
The lines blur, don't they?
They do blur.
Because essentially you're expressing yourself.
Yes.
But you're expressing yourself using different media.
Yeah. And then I started a nonprofit here in Chattanooga that keeps me very busy called Beloved Woman. We help women who are financially disadvantaged to become self-employed or find a pathway to a living wage. It's a one person at a time job, you know, getting a person into a sustainable situation in which they can make a living wage and pull themselves up. It just takes time. You know, and it takes a community surrounding that person. So we can all play our part. And this is my little part, you know, creating this nonprofit. And we help women. We have a 12-week training program. We try to speak to that spark, that dream inside of them. If they have a side hustle that they want to turn into a business, like a house cleaning or catering, or you know, maybe they want to become an electrician or a cosmetologist, or so we have pathways for them to do that. We're partnering with Chattanooga State and their trade program. And so we have wonderful agencies that have partnered with us and business women who are coming on board to be mentors. And it's just a wonderful collection of people who feel strongly about this issue. And Beloved Woman is kind of a, you know, a gathering place for them to come together. And we're housed at Second Presbyterian, which is kind of a home church for me. That was kind of the first place I landed when I came here to Chattanooga. I have a beloved mentor who's been there his whole life, and so it just seemed like a natural place for me to be. And so our office is there, and it's in the, I call it the castle because it looks like a castle. I don't know if you've ever seen the building, but it has all these turrets. It's a beautiful building. When COVID lifts, we'll be able to have some events there and open houses and things like that. Just became official a couple of months ago, and so we're moving forward.
When we talked last time, the figure was somewhere around 18-19%, something like that, of the population is in that kind of situation.
Well, about 7 or 8 years ago, it was 27%. They've since taken it down to about 22%. Two-thirds of those are women, and if you do the math, it's roughly between the people that are countable anyway. You know, not everyone's countable because our census taking isn't, you know, perfect. But it's around 12,000 to 15,000 women that in our city who we would consider our target demographic.
And how many of them are African-American?
I don't know. I would say a large portion. I was just talking with someone about an hour ago, and he said to me, this is an older gentleman, he said, did you know that Chattanooga was one of the top 5 places in the nation for cyclical and generational poverty? And I said, yeah, I did know that. That's why I started this program. And he said, yeah, it was shocking to me when I found out. And I said, yeah, for some reason, we have a really hard time getting people to have economic mobility here in this area. So one of the reasons we want to help women get into trades and help them find pathways to self-employment is because, you know, not every woman's got 4 years to spend in college and with a high rate of student loans be kind of, you know, indebted that way. So having a trade or having a something that you do for extra income or, you know, living wage income can be really important, you know, and then deciding to do a school later, you know, or do a vocational school or, you know, take a different route. So I think we're looking into a time where we're seeing that trades and vocations can often pay more than sometimes having a college education. In women who are single, which is a high number of women in our larger county, would rather hire a female electrician, plumber, a female carpenter than a male because it makes them feel more safe, you know, having that person in their home. And they would want to support women. So I think there's a huge market for women in trades.
In effect, you started your life, as at least my impression is, that you began your creative life as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
How has that changed as your life has changed? Does it change what you write about?
Yeah, that's changing. I mean, I have another project that's coming out next year that is all songs that are processing what happened, you know. It's I think it's going to be called The Night I Met Ringo. And it's all about, you know, being in that world and my experiences since then and how they've built me and changed me. And I had an old guitar that we used touring a lot, and I hadn't really played it in like 10 years. And my husband was just insisting that I get it repaired. And so I took it to Nashville, got it repaired by the guy that is just amazing, Modman Guitars. And when I brought it home, it had like 3 songs in it. You know, I always say guitars have songs in them and you just have to like listen. And I sat down and wrote 3 songs. And they were all really about just processing things that have happened over the past 10 to 15 years since that world. I don't think I've had time to really process it. I've been so busy doing other things. And they're all like rock, kind of blues, soul songs, gritty. They're very gritty. So I'm looking forward to recording that. I'm thinking about recording it in Muscle Shoals with some of the musicians that I've met. So it's changed. You just get more honest, I think, and you get more transparent. And I still think, you know, you always think, oh my gosh, I have that album in me, you know, that really needs to come out. And so you think that everyone that you do, you're like, this has just got to come out, you know. And I think all songwriters and all artists or anyone that has a creative, you know, thing that we do, it's like, oh, you're just compelled to make something tangible out of what's inside of you.
So if, in effect, your life is sort of, there are 2 streams, because what you're writing about is not necessarily what you're thinking about or encountering every day.
It can be way deep down in there, like it needs to get out. It's been.
So you don't promote the work that you're doing with your nonprofits.
I know so many artists that have causes that they feel really passionate about, and I think it brings a sense of mission to what you're doing. Mm. You know, it's like, I'm doing this because I want to pour myself back into this mission. I want what I do to represent this mission. And so I think that's what's happening with me. Like, I just feel really passionate about, you know, people in poverty and people who are not able to really express their souls in the world or their creativity in the world because they just are slaving away, you know, trying to survive. And I feel like human dignity is a God-given gift, but I also feel like the people who have been able to experience that dignity as a gift, I feel like we have a responsibility to help others, to lift others up so that they can also experience it. And so that's kind of the mission that I feel like I have written on my heart is just using my creativity and my time and my energy to help other people find expression of that and connect with soul, you know. And music does that, you know. People always say to me, when you sing, like, it's, I feel like I'm connected to God, you know. I feel like it's a spiritual experience. And I do feel that way when I sing. I mean, it is a direct connection, I think. So I just keep singing because people keep saying that. So how can I not sing? You know what I mean? So that's why I sing and continue to write, you know.
Your singing and your songs aren't necessarily an intellectual exercise. They're more a feeling, emotional exercise.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Whereas your other writing, while it has that essence, is an intellectual exercise in as much as how you composed your thoughts and put them down on paper. So while it appears to be two different streams, it isn't really. It's just different iterations.
Right. Different expressions. I love writing as well. And my literary agent tells me that my writing is just incredibly poetic. It has a lyrical quality to it. And it's just another way of expressing kind of a longer version of what I'm trying to say in a song.
As you evolve as a writer, do you think you'll still keep writing songs?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, as long as I can sing, I'll keep singing. And I love it. I love having that space with people. A lot of times, you know, the things that I sing about and things I talk about in my performances, people will say, do you have that in a book? And so that's why I put this last book together. It's coming out late October because people wanted it, you know, in a book. And so I think it'll hopefully be helpful for women. This is another woman's story. Kind of lost in the Bible. And it's really, it's the only book of the Bible that actually features a woman's, well, a woman kind of plays the lead role, if you want to put it that way. She's chasing her lover through the streets. It's from the Song of Songs, but it's just beautiful love poetry, and I feature some of that in the song. This is called 10,000 Charms. sweet. Let its fragrance reach my dear one. Just let him come and deeply drink. Just let him come and deeply drink. Oh, it is ours. There are 10,000 charms. 10,000 charms. 10,000 charms. You'll find that song and some of the others I've played on a new CD, album, project, whatever you want to call it, coming out October 20th. It's called Untamed Stories. This is a song I used to do in my rock band days from the Evan Roods. This is called I Can't Find Otis Redding. And I was just thinking so much more about this song these days, particularly with the Black Lives Matter movement, and just thinking of how it kind of speaks out to that, and just sending lots of love to all of those who feel lost and persecuted. May we all find peace. Down at the docks, but I can't find Otis Redding. You don't have to tell me, nothing lasts forever. I know, I just keep forgetting. On up to heaven, I'm not sure where I'm heading. My old man fought in a world war, yeah, but it don't end. Conversation. Except for one time where he mentioned some Italian, a woman with a reputation. A fine young man has gone on up to heaven. I don't know where I'm heading. They say a little plug of tobacco take away that yellow jacket stain. Oh, but it ain't true. No. It's just an old wives' tale, and nothing can take away the sting. Fine young man has gone on up to heaven, and I don't know where I'm heading. Looking deep inside me, why don't you just look at my expression? Cause it's right here, you know. All up on the surface. And I said, why don't you just look at my expression? Yeah, 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 yeah. The fine young man is going all up to heaven. And I don't know where I'm headed. A study done in the UK that said that loneliness is killing us, and this is a song that I wrote. I think we all suffer from loneliness at some point or another during a period of chronic loneliness, and this is called Any Old Day Now. My feet were on fire, burning with leaving, like mercury with a message from God. Oh, but leaving for where? Oh, I guess that's the problem. Well, I don't believe in destiny. It's hard to hit a moving target. Just want some people to call my own. Any old day now, I'll give you more than just. These wings for love, love. For a band of bandits, or angels, or just a team with a team spirit. Just someone to say, hey, I know you. Is that too much to ask? Oh, perhaps I've become the vulture, circling a dead future, always feasting on the past. No, I want a future. A future and a hope. Any old day now, I'll give you more than trust. Yeah, any old day now, hey, I'll change these wings for love, for love. Brother, open up your arms. Everything's a failure. God is the pivot. Sister, open up your arms. Yeah, yeah. Cause any old day now, I'll give you more than trust. I'm coming out with a new single actually next week. And this song I wrote with Kim McLean out of Nashville. She's a good friend of mine and has written several hit songs. And we came together around this issue of violence against women. It's something like 1 in 3 women throughout the world experience violence in their lifetime. And we wanted to write a song to raise awareness. And this is the theme song for the Women Arise Collective, which is a nonprofit that helps women all over the world to recognize violence and recover from it. So September 22nd, go and download this, share it on YouTube. There's a great video. It's called Women Arise. And thanks for spending some time with me this afternoon. She waits at the gates of the city. Nobody, no place to call home. She's never felt special or pretty. She's always been lost and alone. Every night, a different man takes her, gives her shelter for trade. He will feel it's his right to abuse her. Want somebody, somebody to pray. Women arise, your freedom is calling. Now is the time, turn away from your fear. Stand up and shine in the light of God's glory. Women arise. She's the housewife with bruises for kisses. She's the mother who barely survived. She's your sister, your daughter, your best friend. Women everywhere learn. But we're bright and we're strong and courageous, waking up to the power we hold. And together we're writing new pages of the story that's ours to unfold. Women arise, your freedom. Now is the time, turn away from your fear. Stand up and shine in the light of God's glory. Open your eyes, take back your life. Not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Don't you see it? Now it springs forth. I'll make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. Turn away from your fear. Thank you so much. Thanks for hanging out with me this afternoon. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. God bless.
Sherry Cothran recorded live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library. These sessions are recorded on Wednesday afternoons in the State of the Art recording studio. It's on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown Chattanooga. The recordings of, for the most part, Chattanooga-based musicians and bands are produced, engineered, and mixed by Sam Mensah, who also manages the studio for the Chattanooga Public Library. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me, Richie Winham, for WUTC, Sam for the library. We will have another session recorded live in the library on Scenic Roots, Live in the Library, next Friday afternoon. Sherry Cothran has a new album set for release in a couple of weeks on October 6th. It's called Untamed. This is a song from her most recent album, Kiss the Ground. This is called Still.
They call me the preacher, the overseer of this unhappy business God's given all guys. Children, I've seen everything done under the sun, and I found it such a meaningless business. Oh, the oppressed in their tears, the oppressors in their fears, yeah. different.